Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahaveryankara Vavahai, Tejasvinavaritamastu Ma Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, so we continue with the chapter 8. So we stop at the fourth one. Then fifth, one should not enter the temple in a contaminated state.
I have a question actually.
Okay.
On the fourth.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a subtle contamination, but yes, the feet always have to be. Well, even if you have socks on, still it happens that it's contaminated. But if you are at a place where you cannot take it off or whatever it may be. No, say you are with somebody and in suit with shoes on. And then you take your prasad, so then it will be probably not very practical taking the shoes off, the socks, and washing the feet. But you should know that it's proper to wash your feet. So whenever you get the opportunity, you should do that. And that's why wearing the devotional clothes, it's so practical, because not only that the clothes themselves are very, very, very free and easy to wear, but also, it's very easy to follow, be clean and pure. So it's better to find some ways how you can follow these things than just not to disregard them and then as not practical. Because definition of what is practical, it's different by people with different values. So if your values are that you like to keep yourself clean and pure, then you will find practical anything which enables you to do that. If you don't mind being dirty, then practical may mean completely something else. For some people, they take bath once a year. So that's maybe very practical at some places. But just think about how would you feel yourself not take bath for 1 year. Just put perfumes, yeah? So, what is practical? So, based on values, you discriminate and you adjust the situation in such a way so then it matches your values. That's practical. So, in the temples, if there is a possibility, instead of wearing socks, then maybe just do the heated floor. or then put some carpet, you know, for the winter. But there is always something you can do. You know, the toilet also can be arranged differently, so then maybe even some heating can be, you know, there, so that you can actually go barefoot and you don't have to wear the socks on the toilet. Yeah, just a question of values. Yeah, that's good. Okay, so yeah, one should not enter the temple in a contaminated state. So, principle the same. So then when you are not clean, then subtly, the mind is not pure. The mind will not be able to focus on the Lord, on the activity. It will be distracted. So coming into the temple in contaminated state, then what it means is that not only that you contaminate everybody else, but also the mind will be disturbed. So the focus will not be there. So what's the point of coming to the temple? And what to speak about that we cannot perform the activities which we should perform. So therefore, we should always see that we are clean when we go into the temple. Yes?
If we are contaminated on a subtle level, will we also pass on that contamination to whatever we
do? What do you mean? Like?
Like, you know, if we are contaminated on a gross level, definitely we are, because the things that we touch become impure and they have to be purified.
Okay, what do you mean by contaminated on a subtle level? Well, you are not clean, so then you will make the place, you know, unclean to a certain level. Depends what the level of your contamination is. Even people, see, he may be, you know, taking bath, he may do everything, but if his mind is not pure, if his mind is not focused, so then he will contaminate everybody else around it with his mind. So it may be a little more subtle, it may be a little more gross, but still it's the contamination. So our responsibility is coming to the temple in the best state we can. So that's why we perform all these activities, you know, taking bath, you know, putting tilak on, chanting the mantras, chanting some japa, then going to the temple. But it's not much because of the bodily. Not the body, it's the mentality, the mind. So if we can focus the mind on the Lord, then we definitely can make progress. But if we bring the body to the temple, but the mind is somewhere else, we are not in the temple. Then it's pointless. So subtle contamination is also as important as the gross one.
The question is there a need to purify items that we're touching if we are contaminated in a subtle level? Like, because if we are contaminated on a gross level, definitely these items, they have to be purified before.
See, if you are grossly, if you grossly, no, make something unclean, then you may have to use cow dung, you may have to use other measures to clean it. If it's something more subtly unclean, then maybe just some prakshani, means subtle, no, just sprinkling water and then chanting mantras will be sufficient. We have to understand that there is not only one level of contamination. We try to, some by ways how we have learned, then we learn to see things black or white, either clean or dirty. But we don't see how that there is also like a gray in between. For example, now some devotees have the idea, well, okay, I'm going to sleep now, so I can go now past tool because anyway I'll be muchi. But when you do that, then you will, you know, when you go to sleep in contaminated state that way, then you will actually be prone to attract subtle beings. So you may not have nice sleep. So that contamination is not on the same level as the other one. So we have to understand these things, how we keep ourselves clean on the subtle level and the gross level. If we understand these points, then we can understand what actually needs to be done and which situation. If you go to pass urine, then you wash your hands, you can wash with mud, with soap, and then you are clean. It's done. But if you go to pass stool, then you wash your hands, but still you have to take bath. It's a different kind of contamination. So we have to learn to discriminate between, you know, various levels and apply them in our life. It's not difficult. The problem is that we as adults, when we come to hear this, then it's too revolutionary. It's something which we didn't know about, so why should we learn now? But it's never too late. And then once we catch the point, once we accept it in our mind, then it's not very difficult to apply it. It's only for us to understand that actually we can apply it, and that's it. Yeah. You had. See, the problem now when they are contaminated is that it's really the mind. Even though now they could come and take darshan, but generally they don't, because this is the time when they take off. They just spend time now at their house. It's the mentality which they cannot really focus on anything. So even if they would go to the temple, still they wouldn't be able to focus on the way they want to do. They wouldn't do any services there. So it's that time is just for them to spend at the house. They don't even go out. And anyway, that time just they rest. They just do whatever they need to do. They spend time now with their friends and just relax. That's.
Is it somewhere in Shastra?
It's in Ayurveda. There is a description. Okay, the sixth one should not bow down on one hand. So we described that. So you should always do either the Panchanga pranam or full dandavats, but it should not be that we hold one thing like this or no. It's a Bhakti Yoga. It's not a Hatha Yoga. So no, we should not do that. It's not appropriate. Yes.
My hands, it's not touching the floor.
Why would the hand not there? See, like if you have beadbag, no, if you cannot put it away, then no, you can hold it then this way and then still pay with it. But it's not the best. It's the best just to put it away. Mm-hmm. And if you are carrying something, no, big, then either find way how you can put it on some appropriate place, or don't bring it with you. Or if it is, then if it's something important, then you don't put it down. You don't pay obeisances. You pay obeisances in your mind, but not physically. No, it's not that we have to, no. Otherwise, we are afraid that somebody else will criticize that we didn't pay obeisance. It's not about that. We are not dealing with the Lord. So it's out of respect for Him we pay the obeisances. So then, when we do it in our mind because we cannot, we are doing some other service, it's not a fault. Yeah? Yes?
But about this point of being contaminated, if we're taking like a nap, are we also getting contaminated?
You see, it is said that actually, that if you take a nap, so within the 45 minutes, then it's alright. But then after the 45 minutes, the body starts to actually now clean itself. So then the dirt from the body starts coming from the pores, and then you are not clean. So short nap is not a problem, but long sleep, yes, you should not take bath. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. You should not. If you touch the bed, then you are contaminated that way. The best is use a wool cover for the bed, because then the wool does not get contaminated by the air. Of course, if you spill something dirty on it, then not that place is going to be dirty. But you can wash it, and it's going to be pure again. The wool you can put on sun, and it purifies itself on the sun. But and then, so you can after you sleep, you can put the cover on, and you can use it for sitting. No, it's not a problem. But you cannot do that with cotton or with jute or with silk. Only wool has these properties. So that you can do. Then you keep yourself clean. You can sleep on the, you can put, say, like wool blanket. No, on that you can put some cotton chadar. You can sleep on the chadar. In the morning, then you can just roll the chadar that you can wash. And no, the blanket is not contaminated. But if you use synthetic blanket, then it is. So it's just a question of being conscious of what we do, how we do, and why. Yes?
I was wondering about the richness of children.
About?
The richness of children.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I did deity worship, when I had small babies, obviously I would only come and dress, I would not touch them. They're asleep, like they're dressed as demons. But when they get a bit older, they're not babies, so they're not really dirty. You know, yeah. They're taking baths.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're not really super, like they might touch their mouth.
Yeah.
What's, I mean, obviously, puja, that's something, but what's coming to the temple? Is that okay to, you know, I'm holding my son who's, you know,
Well, you should definitely endeavor, you know, say, to teach him how to keep oneself clean.
I do.
Yeah.
I just know that it's not as I would be. You know?
Yeah, of course, yeah. But then you see, say, like when he sticks fingers in the mouth, okay, just not take him and just wash the hands. No. You can even have some little bottle and kind of like just, no, wash the hands. And then generally that's what happens when they're a little elder. And it's not...
And then we used to make him wash his feet after Basharam, but since yesterday I made him wash his feet after
Basharam. Yeah, that's good. You will protect him this way. Because, no, you keep him pure, then he will be protected from, you know, various influences. And for him, see, when the kids learn this stuff, for them, they do it because anyway, they don't really care why. They just, you know, I was always doing it. So that's how they learn. So then when they become elder, then they may ask, why are we doing it? If you explain to them why we are doing this, they just continue doing what they were doing their whole life anyway. You see, ideal is when you encourage him by always remember. If you cannot do that, then yeah, you can encourage him by don't forget. But don't use it not too often or only. Try always to use encouragement by no, always remember. And if it doesn't work or not, then always give a little bit don't forget. No. That way then no, it's a very good tool how you can train them. Now we mentioned also when Srila Prabhupada wanted to put the finger in the fan. So just telling him it's not good, wouldn't work. Okay, so put the finger inside. And then just, yeah.
Never. Understanding of subtle living entities, I think, is good for them. Like sometimes my daughters, they're like, can I just go to bed?
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's unfortunate. No, that's. For that education, it's very important that we don't have to fear kind of like that. Oh no, some subtle living beings. It's if we keep ourselves clean and pure, there is really no need to fear no anything from them. Because actually, it's in the body. No, there is. One force which is called ojas. Ojas, it's some sort of, you know, in the Shastra it's explained something like a glue. It connects together the subtle and the gross body. Now, by performing, various, pious activities, mainly, purity, cleanliness. So that way then the ojas becoming stronger. And we are safer. Now, if for some reason then the ojas becomes weak, then it's easier for the subtle and gross body to separate. So then that's the time when you may say that somebody is mentally ill, or that other living entity can take over. Or, come into the body and then act differently without even, the other person knowing about it.
Children more susceptible to that? To the
they are a bit protected when they are still young, so they are protected with some other way that it's not exactly well, even though they are muchi, that still not they are saved or safer from there. But that all helps. Yes. So if we cannot understand that we do it to please the Lord, then we should know that we can do it at least for ourselves, that it helps to help ourselves to be able to not be, not suffer. So if we know the aspects of not always remember and never forget, then we can explain things, everything as they are. So always the best is we put tilak, because marking the body, with the names of Vishnu. But if somebody doesn't understand what it means, then we can also explain that keeps us pure and then keeps away the bad spirits. Yes. This and also like kajal. See, they do it actually to evade the evil eye. Sometimes, the people, they may have some, power that, or when they look at the baby, so with, envy or like that, they affect the consciousness of the baby. So all the kajal and the dots, they are, when you look at the baby, then there is something different. So the eyes get attracted to something else. So it distracts the eye. So it's less powerful. So it's more difficult to actually cast some evil eye on the child. And then if it's done properly, it also looks very nice. Well, whenever, I mean, there is no a specific age. It's the maturity. It also depends on the mother how she is protective of the child. So, one should not circumambulate in front of Sri Krishna. So we should circumambulate the deity, but not in front. Because when we do in front, then we also show our back. And it also means we are circumambulating somebody else, something else. So then Krishna is not the center. When it's Tulsi Arati, then the altar is closed. No, I mean, it's Krishna will have no problem with that, but Tulsi Devi will feel really a little awkward that she's being worshipped and Krishna is looking. So for her sake, then we don't do that. So also worshipping various devotees, there's a Vyasa Puja or anything like that, then we should be very conscious of the deities. When the deities are open, so, and say Guru is there on Vyasa San, we should not specifically worship only him, forgetting the deities. And so, we should be conscious of this thing. When we worship somebody, what is his mood? What makes him comfortable? And it's unlikely that a devotee will be comfortable being worshipped in front of the deities. So we have to be very careful what we do. And then also when, So we should not circumambulate in front. Rather we can circumambulate the deity. Or then both. Could do that.
That, if they're in the middle and you're going around them?
Well, it can be. You see, some devotees, during Mangalarati, they just keep going chanting their rounds, But there is the seva is that you can attend the Mangalarati. So being in the kirtan with the deities, that's what it's supposed to be. You're not supposed to be going around that time. But if there is a kirtan, then get involved in the kirtan. Yeah, if it's in the kirtan, it's for Krishna's pleasure. So it's the whole dancing and kirtan, it's for his pleasure. So when they go around and then doing the snakes and things like that, that's a different thing. That's part of the kirtan. But when you have devotees, that they just would go japa, not considering anybody. And then starting to go around the devotees, because they want to get their mercy, then it may not be that appropriate. Yes. Okay. See, when you go around the deities. So as you are leaving, you are showing back to the deities. So then, when you are just about to not see the deity, then you turn around, kind of like a sudden, so you have the last view on the deity, and then you just go aside. There is another point. If you cannot go around the deities, see, there is no path. So you can still go, and then you can not turn around when you are in front of the deities, it's the same like you would go around the deities. I mean, it should not be used if you can go around. But knowing that you cannot go around, so then, turning in front of the deities means it's the same like you would go around the deities. Yeah? Devotees say, if they go somewhere for darshan, right? There is some Maharaj. So then, when you are leaving the room, then you also turn. You are not going out showing the back. Rather go out, seeing the person face to face, and then turn in the door and just go. So the principle is the same. So you are leaving the deities, the view of the deities. So you just look at them last moment and then just turn around and then go. Yes.
During Tulasi party, and then after when we're circumambulating Tulasi, I see some devotees turning around when they're passing Prabhupada, but then they're turning the back to Tulasi.
See, when they do that, they are also going around Prabhupada. That's the principle that they just when they turn around, so it's like also circumambulating Prabhupada. So it's not showing back to Tulasi, it's just going once more around Prabhupada.
But they're turning the other way around, so both they're turning their back to Prabhupada and Tulasi in the same.
At that moment,
they don't understand the principle of what way to turn around, they just know that they have to turn around.
Oh, and it's when they go, so then you just turn around in front of Prabhupada, and means a little bit on the side there, and then just continue going around Tulasi. That's appropriate. Yeah? One should not spread his legs before the deity. That means we should always sit crossed legged, or you can also, when you are on asan, then you can sit in Padmasana, when you are not on asana, then you can also sit on your heels. What's the name of the asana?
Vajrasana.
Vajrasana, yes. So you can also sit like that. That's generally done when there is no asana. So you can sit there. But you should not spread your legs. You should also not open your legs unless you are cross-legged. Not in front of deities. That's inappropriate. So you should not just look at deities and then not just lie down or not spread your legs. That's not good. That's disrespectful. One should not sit before the deity holding the ankles, elbows, or knees with one's hands. So, you can put hands on your knees. That's okay. But you should not sit, no, like this. No, that's not good. Again, that's disrespectful. Or that holding your ankles, no, and then it's, or, no, something like this, they hold. It's not good. You should not, that should not be done. Sometimes, no, maybe relaxing now, but you should not be doing it in the deity room. Not in front of the Lord. Yes. And then holding elbows, that's a mudra actually, which, whatever comes, you are not accepting. You are protecting yourself from, so, when you are saying something, so then somebody does, no, like this means, no, cross that. No, okay, no, I don't believe you. So you are creating barrier. So you are not really likely to accept Krishna or any instruction you may be getting from the devotees in the temple. Yes?
I was reading through these this morning. I was wondering whether these rules apply also in the chanting of the Maha Mantra, because it's also the deity. So I was thinking, like, sometimes you see people chanting, doing the same thing, holding their ankles or knees and stuff, or sitting like that. So can we say that these rules in general also can apply to that?
See, for chanting of the holy name, then there are no rules, no, as such. There is really no rule for chanting the holy name, but out of respect, then yes, we should be in clean state, we should be properly seated, because it will affect us. If we really want to get the chanting of the holy name the best respect, then we should also have the mind in proper state. So if we are respectful, we will sit properly, so then we can properly respect the holy name. But if we are very relaxed and we just take it not seriously, then it's unlikely that we will be taken seriously by the holy name. So it's all how seriously you want to take it. So the way we approach the Lord, He will reciprocate back. Sometimes, when you are sick, and maybe you have to lie down, so then, okay, so maybe you'll be chanting lying down. It is better than not chanting at all. But that should not be the standard, that now people always chant lying down. You may not be able, say, to sit cross-legged for a long time. You may have to, stretch your leg, or you may have to reposition your leg. No, whatever you need to do, then you need to do. But it's your shortcomings, right? Rather than that you could, but you don't want to. So it's, where is the respect? Yeah? Okay, 10. One should not lie down before the deity of Krishna. Then And we said it's same principle, just the respect. One should not accept prasadam before the deity. So we discussed the temple room. When we use it also as a prasadam room, then we should close the deities. We should not have open altar and taking prasad. But when you have, say somebody gives you prasad, you can honor the prasad. Maybe just go on the side, but you can honor the prasad, no, even in front of deity without touching your mouth. If somebody gives you a little bit of some barfi, you can just pop it in the mouth and then take it. Or tulsi. If you can take the tulsi leaf without touching your mouth. Charanamrita you can also not take. So that's not... But full-on meal, when you actually contaminate your hands, then you should not be doing in front of the deities. Yes? Yes. It should be the same. You offer the deities, the bhoga, and then after prasad you just close the altar, let them rest. So and when it's closed, then everybody in the house just takes prasad. And after the prasad then you can open the deities. Or if it is in different room, then you can leave them open if that's the standard, that's also. But when you are taking in the same room where the deities are, you should close the deities during the prasad. Yeah? Yes?
It's the same principle that if you're sleeping in the same room as the deities are.
Same. Yeah. You can use that place, but you just have to clean it. Yeah. And then you have to be also conscious the Lord is sleeping there. So you are not going to do some disco or anything like that, no. That's just you use it for sleeping, so only for sleeping. Not that you want to everybody wants to chant, so then they will just loud, lights on and just keep chanting. No, the Lord is sleeping. So once the Lord goes to sleep, if you want to sleep there, then just everything quiet. No lights, just quiet, peaceful. In the morning also, quietly, get up, clean the place, and then you go, wake up the Lord. So we have to be conscious of, the Lord not being disturbed by our presence. So that's it. Yeah? Twelve. One should never speak a lie before the deity. So, yes, we should not be lying at all, and then we should especially not lie in front of deities. It's a very important point. We should also not take promises in front of deity. Promise. Okay, from now on, I'll chant 64 rounds. Every day, I'll promise you. Promise you in the Shema Reva, chant 64 rounds every day. It's, if we can do it for the rest of our life, then yes, then we may be successful. But if we don't do it, then we were lying. We should, if we want to chant more rounds, then we should take it as a part of, our sadhana and start little by little. Okay, let me chant two extra rounds for next, 3-4 months. See how I can do. But it should not be, because our promise is 16 rounds. Anything else, then we should take as extra. And we can be chanting more, but it's by the grace that we have more time, then we can actually not chant more. But it should not be that, I want to show everybody how good I am, so I'll not promise that I will chant more now. We should be very careful not to do that. Yes?
It's initiation and marriage vows we take in front of the
king? Yes. Yeah. Well, the initiation, okay, yes. So then, but the guru is there, so even if the deity is not there, so still not, you are promising it to guru, who is like the deity anyway. So, but that's the minimum, that's a standard which we follow. But if it's anything extra, then we should not do it just, I'm better than anybody else, no, I can just, that should not be the mood. The mood is, okay, well, I can chant 64 rounds, so I'll do it. But today I cannot. At least 16 I have to. Then we don't have to, catch up with, I have to chant 1,268 rounds, because I was sick. So, I cannot do, Prabhu, I cannot do your service because, I can do actually anything else. I have to chant, because I have, 1,200 rounds to chant. No, this is nonsense. So whenever you can, then you can chant extra. If you cannot, what to do? If there is opportunity for some other service, take the opportunity if it's beneficial for you. Don't make excuses that you promised something yourself and others will be disadvantaged because of that. That's not good. Yes? Yeah. But then, because mother takes such a nice care and everything, we forget immediately. Yeah. But now we get the opportunity to remember our promise, so we can catch up on that. Yeah. Yeah. Very good point. Okay, so, and here, that it was number 12.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare